Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 14. And the Lord Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. Thank you for its authority. Thank you for this opportunity this evening to think briefly for a moment about what you're doing in Bankery through the lives of your people. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for its power, for its truth, for its clarity, that through the preaching of your word, lives are transformed for your glory. And Father, we praise you and rejoice that we have a gospel to share. And I pray that you would help us to listen. Let us be encouraged. Let us be challenged. And let us be stirred up to share the best news that Jesus saves. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, some of you might know that some of our teenagers were at a youth event, PowerPoint, last weekend, and that's an event that takes place normally in Gilcomston Church, and there they were, 400 or 500, all enjoying the music. And at the end, after the gospel was given, a call went out to anyone who might respond. And one girl stood up, one girl, courageous enough to say, "I want to follow Jesus. I want to commit my life to him." And she went forward for prayer. And that night, that young lady gave her life to the Lord. Now, I don't know who she is. God does. But that act of courage had a distinct impact on our other young people that were there. And a number of them also went forward. So we thank and we praise God for all that God is doing. And that's what we would like to do this evening, is to look at what God is doing in our locality, and that we might be encouraged to pray, and that we might be stirred up to witness, and also to continue to get involved in all that God's doing through this church here. Local mission. We have looked at this great verse, which is the very words of Jesus. He says, "You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden." And the Lord Jesus is speaking, and I think in particular he's addressing his disciples, his followers. And he's saying, "You are the light of the world. You have this responsibility to take the light of the good news that there is a God in heaven who loves and wants to bless and draw people to himself in salvation and bring them into his kingdom and give him new life through repentance and faith in him." I want just to, for a moment, just pick out two things. And the first thing is the greatness of the quality of this light. Because it's interesting, we must ask the question, well, what does this light really speak of? And I think when you come to actually look at the Bible, I think the Bible is wonderful because it's its own interpreter. And that is that we can look into the scriptures for ourselves and we can see how God explains things to us from different parts of the Bible. So for instance, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, there it reminds us that God is light. And it reminds us that light, in particular in this verse in Scripture, reminds us of God, in particular in his character, in his holiness, in his love, in his compassion, in his grace. And the Lord Jesus is saying from this verse that you are the light of the world. That is, that those who trust and believe in Christ have the opportunity to bring light into their community, into their world, to bring the character of God into our homes to those who are not believers, into our neighborhood, into the playgrounds, into our street, into our workplace, so that when people look at us as his people, they're seeing God's face. They're seeing the love and compassion of Christ in us. You know, I think it's really interesting when you think about this whole subject of light, by a way of just introducing this. It's interesting when you think about how light is portrayed in the Old Testament, because where was light found in the tabernacle, for example? God's tent as he was living and dwelling with his people. It was there in the holy place. But it was hidden. That is, from public view, you couldn't see it. It was inside this tent. And then when you get to the temple, again, the light there on that great lampstand, again, was hidden. It was within the holy place. But when we come to it here, it's amazing. That light that speaks of God's holy character and all his love and grace, it's now out there. Jesus says, your light's now on a hill. He says, let it be like on a hill, like on a city that can't be hidden. And so the light that was once hidden in the presence of God is now going out, and Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world as my people, and I want you to shine as billboards, as flashlights, as torches, as sunbeams, as we used to sing in the Sunday school, I did anyway, for Jesus Christ. And I think we have a great example, you know, in Moses. I've been reading through the book of Exodus. And there in chapter 34, Moses has spent how long on that mountain with God? 40 days and 40 nights. And when he comes down from that mountain, as we know the story well, his face is shining, isn't it? Shining with the glory of God. I mean, what an opportunity to spend 40 days and 40 nights with majesty, with the living God, with the creator of the universe. And after it's all over, he comes down and his face is beaming so much so that the people are, whoa, Moses, cover your face up. You're blinding us. They didn't have sunglasses in those days. At least I don't think they did. But what a picture of you and me as God's people. That as light of the world, as people who spend time with God in his presence, I trust, and hopefully daily, we have this opportunity as lights for God to shine, to radiate, to reflect the character of God, like Moses having spent time in his presence to shine for him. So how much time have we spent in God's presence this week just looking into his word and learning more of him and drinking it in? Let's not be like the people who were like at the border of the mountain. And I know that, yes, God set a boundary there for a reason and he told them not to come. But are we going to be onlookers and bystanders at others shining for God and we are not? Or are we going to get, figuratively speaking, on the mountain of God and get with God in his presence and drink in his word and enjoy him to such an extent that it just flows like a river? It reflects like a sunbeam out of us the character of God in our lives. And what does that look like? That is the fruit of the Spirit that we read of in Galatians 5, that love, that joy, that patience, that long-suffering, that goodness, that kindness, that patience that our world longs and loves to see. It's a tremendous opportunity that every day we can reflect the character of God to the people that we are with, in our family, in our homes, in our neighborhood, the people we work with. One lady that got converted recently said, "I've been so impressed with the people at church because they're so welcoming, they're so loving, they're so patient, they're so kind, and I can feel the warmth." What a great commendation for us here as a church. And I trust I say that in humility. I'm not trying to big us up, but we give all the glory to God that a lady, like many that I've said in the past, were felt so welcomed here and shown love. And people take note of that. I wanted to remind us tonight that, you know, we have a great God. And his gospel is glorious. The gospel is also described as light. We get that in 2 Corinthians chapters. We get it in chapter 3 and chapter 4 in particular. And that's the light that shines to people. And he is the God of love, the God of transformation that can change lives. And so what we're bringing into our community is a God who is so great and powerful. Let's trust him to do his work. So it's a light that's great in quality, but it's great in its clarity because what did the verse say? It says, "You are the light of your street," yes. "Of Bankery," yes. "Of your workplace," yes. "Of your community," yes. "Of the world," yes. It's a light that it extends unlimited and unhindered. It's a light that projects to all. You are the light of the world. And God is getting such pleasure and delight as he sees his people lighting up in his globe, in his world, lighting up for his glory, shining his gospel and how we live and what we see. I'm reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus in John's gospel, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not restrict it in any way. You know, when you switch a torch on or a light in a dark place, it just shines, doesn't it? The darkness cannot possibly restrict it or limit it. So friends, this evening, let us not get distracted or downcast when we see the devil at work. The devil is a real and a powerful enemy, yes, but he's restricted. And his power was defeated at the cross. And as we shine our light for God in our community and how we live our lives, that light will shine. And the devil will not have his way. For the gospel has power to change people's lives. Well, let's move on to, that might be a bit small, our mission field. That is the demographic. Sorry if you can't see that. I probably should have made it a little bit bigger. But there we are. Under 16 years of age, the percentage of folks in Bankery are around about 20%. And the over 65s, the OAP, I confess, I did actually think there were maybe more, but I do spend quite a bit of time with senior citizens, so again, 20% there. But the largest group is between ages of 16 and 64 in Bankery, which is interesting. There are approximately 7,500 people in Bankery at the moment, maybe 7,600. But which age group should we be focusing on? I think as a church we do really well. We have creche, right through to friendship lunch and so many other things. My answer to that is, let's not be limited or bound by any age group, because every soul needs the gospel. Every individual needs to hear the gospel and needs to see lives that are shining Christ and the character of God. It might be this evening that you are particularly burdened about a particular age group, and that's fantastic, and that's not wrong. The Lord Jesus, remember, was burdened about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember, Paul was burdened about reaching out to the Gentiles. So it's all good and scriptural to focus possibly on one particular group. But let's not feel we have to limit that, because we have a great God that can save. I was listening to a really good sermon by Francis Chan the other week there. And whatever you might think about Francis Chan, he said a thing that really struck. He said, our communities are like graveyards. People are dead in their sin. And it will only take nothing less than a miracle of the power of God to awaken a life from spiritual death to spiritual life. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't really have a very interesting story about how I came to faith. How often have we heard that one? Scott MacDonald really helped us on that a few years ago when he was preaching here from Hillview Community Church, and he said, listen, maybe you think your story's very ordinary, but he said, listen, there are no boring resurrections in the Bible. And if you're a Christian, God has brought you from death to life, and that is not boring. That is a miracle. That is salvation. And we must praise God for every soul that comes to Christ. For even over one sinner that repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. What are the needs in our community? Well, here's some. There's quite a few. I'm just going to flag them all up here. Here are some that I've come across, just personally. Loneliness is a huge one. Think of all those 20% of old age pensioners. Whoops. Sorry. You've seen my whole sermon. Don't know what's going on here. Sorry. Of all those lonely folks that just need prayer and perhaps a friend. Marriage breakup, another issue. A lady came to my wife several weeks ago and asked for prayer. My marriage is breaking down and I need some help. Great opportunity in the gospel. Cancer, mental health among our teenagers in the academy in particular. Poverty and debt, and we're so thankful for Pauline and her team who work so hard. Unemployment. I heard a story of a friend of mine who was working with some of the guys on the bypass. And one of the workers said he was so hungry that actually he was eating cat food. Yeah, we say we live in a rich community. He was eating cat food. Another girl in whom we've been in contact with for quite a bit of time now, her mum and her were so poor at one point, they were sharing pot noodles. That's all they had. One pot noodle for a meal between them for a day. So, you know, we gotta waken up and think about the issues that are before us. Real issues here. And those that come to us, teenagers on a Friday night, we love them dearly for God, and they've got many different sorts of challenges, including drugs and alcohol. Of course, we don't let them in if they're drunk or stoned. But we want to talk to them and share with them the gospel. So there are many needs. But we know that God can meet their greatest need. And that is knowing Christ as their personal Saviour. I've got to watch my time because we're having communion tonight. So what are we doing at the moment? What's going on in our church? What is God doing? Well, I've split outreach into three things. Events, that's everything that we do in here, which is fantastic. I think we had another great junior church this morning, Janet. It's great to see the children. And sometimes junior church gets forgotten. And we must remember the work with the children. Janet does a wonderful work with her team. So thank you. May God encourage you in that. And they're so committed to this work. Do you know that they meet every month on a Thursday for prayer? Then there's the work in the community, farmers market, there's CAP, Christians Against Poverty, Pauline and her team do a great work, the street pastors, and then there's personal witness. Which do you think is the most important? I think they're all important. It's easy just to get fixated in one and saying, oh, we should be doing this more, or we should be doing that more. But actually, if we're seeking to reach people for Christ and for the kingdom, God's kingdom, then we have to use every means possible as to however God leads and brings opportunities before us. Can I share just some prayer points and encouragements, and I hope this will be balanced and it won't sound as if everything's always fantastic at BCFC. I don't want to give that message at all. There's challenges with every work. But this is for your encouragement. Let's begin with BCFC events. And I'm just going to pick up some examples that's encouraged me. I want to share these with you tonight to show you that God is a God that works in a mighty and powerful way. Two teenagers gave their testimony on Friday night at Engage. Andrew and Danny. And my, you could have heard a pin drop as they witnessed and talked about how they came to faith. God is at work in the lives of our youth. Thank God for that. Thank you to Janet and her team that pray for the Engage Youth Club while it's on. Keep praying. Friendship lunch. Unbelievers come regularly. My brother here gave a wonderful talk, I think. And unbelievers were just sitting there listening and drinking it. And let's pray for these precious lives. Thanks to Ron and Sue and Janet, who do a great job in friendship lunch. Little blessings. We all know it's thriving. Pray for safety. We've had 50 plus. What, about 30 or so last week? One of our ladies who are on the team to organize this weekly event has had some great opportunities with a granny. Coffee, shared her testimony, and that's just one. Others have promised to come to Christianity Explored. Pray that God will bless that work. And then there's Christianity Explored. Pray for the men's group. Pray for the ladies' group. I would love to just sit down and tell you about how these 13, 14 or so ladies, for example, and men, in different ways, unchurched people, most of them, want to know more about God. Got real struggles in their lives, some of them. And they want to learn about Christ. Pray for these groups. The ladies' groups on a Monday night and the men's groups on a Wednesday. Community. Farmers market. Somebody said to me about a year ago, is there much point in continuing with the farmers market? And I thought, well, yeah. We're a light and witness in the community. And one of the important things about gospel work is not to give up. Whether it's a friend you've been praying for or a work that seems to be dying in numbers, don't give up. Persevere. We don't want the light to stop shining, as if it could. Because when you have the Spirit of God within you, we might hinder it, we might cloud it, but the light's still shining, even though it might be dim. A lady was contacted last year, after the summer, and to cut a long story short, she came to some of the study groups, she got to know some of us here quite well, and she came to faith in quite a remarkable way. Praise God for that. The River Festival, here's a big hurdle. We don't have that anymore because someone in the community has stepped out, so we can't actually have a River Festival stall in the park each year. So pray that that might be taken up again. Schools, massive work. Two primary schools in Bankery, one academy, as we know. Pray for myself. I'm in Bankery Primary every Monday morning. I'm a bit like this, you know. Come on, Lord. Waking me up. I need my coffee. I get my coffee before I go. But children that are eager to hear, 5 classes in all. I said to the classroom teacher, I'm really sorry I can only come once a fortnight. She says, Ewan, don't worry. Hey, the fact that you're here is amazing. And that was encouraging. The fact that you're coming in is great. So pray that that door will be continued to be kept open. Pray for SU. Victor, Mary, Dominique, Fiona are really involved and committed to SU. Doogie, I think, if it's still going on at Afford. Over the space of a week, we have the opportunity to reach 60-plus children. And that's a wonderful opportunity. Pray for a Boyne Academy and a Boyne Primary. The door has just opened for SU groups to start in those communities, so we thank God for that. And what are the needs in schools? If you want to get involved and be a light for God in a school, they're always needing help with pupil support. Somebody to sit beside the kids and help them with the reading. Maths club, if you're good at maths or English. They're still needing some help with their chess club. So there are so many opportunities in schools that you could pray about to get involved. And I can't let personal witness go. I don't think there is anything quite more effective than Spirit-filled Christians who are living out the gospel every day at their work, in their family, and among their neighbors. A mum in the playground asks for prayer. Then a meeting for coffee happens. And then a friendship takes place. I'm speaking in general terms. Don't want to mention any names tonight because it's been recorded. Another mum shares her burden about a difficult family situation. Pray for her. A young female is contacted at work, and eventually she becomes a Christian. These are all relevant current examples. Family guy in her church has a burden to reach some of his old schoolmates. Meeting up at lunchtime, half an hour here, half an hour there, telling them about Jesus. One of his friends came to the church for the first time a few weeks ago. Two neighbors are attending friendship lunch through an old friendship built over many years. An invite to Little Blessings is given to a neighbor and she comes. Pray on that. That God will use that. A dad has attended helping out at one of our local groups. And that was through his wife's influence as a Christian and her witness. His son now attends church fairly regularly as well. But you know, pray for those at work. Our folks that are working hard during the week, 40 plus hours, sometimes 60, Got a lot of GPs in our congregation, which we thank God for every one of them. Let's get behind them in prayer. How do you begin to give the news that the lady sitting in front of you, for example, has just been diagnosed with cancer? How can you be a light for God? How can you shine for Jesus Christ in that situation? That's just one example. We've got to pray for our congregation, those at work. Forming prayer triplets is so beneficial. I know a lot of guys and ladies are now meeting up for prayer. That's fantastic. Can I encourage us in our local witness? As Jonathan said this morning, part of our vision as we take the gospel out is to equip others. And we've been doing, just recently in the Big Night, in 6 steps to talking about Jesus. It's a great course. If you want to do it yourself, just pick it up and use it at home. It's really good. It's by Simon Manchester. Another lady who's a great witness and Christian writer, Rebecca Manley Pippett, wonderful. She's very good at explaining the scriptures and a very good evangelist, and many great stories about how God has used this lady. And if you want some practical help, great little handbook here that you can look at later about how to do door-to-door evangelism, everything from that to conversation starters that some of us might perhaps not feel we're particularly good at. And maybe we don't feel particularly good at personal witness or getting out there. Do you know, the wonderful thing is, we saw this morning, if Jesus can use ordinary fishermen, he can use ordinary folks like me and you, who first of all are willing to pray. So pray about your family that are not Christians. Pray about your neighbors. Make a list. I know it's simple. I mean, it's not rocket science. But if we're a little bit more strategic in it, God will help us. Care. There are folks in our community who are hurting and just need someone to talk to. And there's so many different ways that we can show care for one another. Maybe somebody needs their dog walked. Maybe your neighbor needs some child care. Maybe your friend across the road needs some DIY or gardening or meals. There are so many ways that we can build a bridge of friendship with people to show care. Somebody once explained it like this, and I'll use the name Jill. Jill built a bridge of friendship with me as a Christian. And then Jesus walked across that bridge. And that's what God is doing. God is using bridges of friendship to reach people. Very rarely do we get folks turning up cold to church or to a Christianity Explored course or having a gospel conversation who haven't initially had a personal contact first. And then we share the gospel. Why don't you take the time this week, if you haven't already done so, just to write out your story of faith in a couple of lines? I know some of you have laughed at that in the past. If you know my story, it'd take a book. Well, why don't you write a book? Write a book. Write your life story. You know, be a Maggie Duncan. Be an Angela Davidson. Be inspired. But it's a great opener. You could say to someone, look, can we sit down over a coffee? I'd just love to share a bit of my life story with you. Share the gospel that way. And in these resources that I've recommended, there's a lot of great helps. Final challenge. Why not pick up Christianity Explored? Get somebody else who's done it before. Sit down with them and go through it. And then why not pray about using it with a neighbor? There's about 90 or so in our membership, 88 I think. Wouldn't it be fantastic if every one of us picked up Christianity Explored, for example, and did it with someone? automatically would be reaching 88 people just like that. And then those people who get saved through that course can then reach another 88 people. And so you get this like explosive dynamic of sharing the gospel. And I think that really is how God intends our strategy to be. We can see it with how he discipled the 12 disciples and then he sent them out to change the world. That is my vision and heart for Bankery. That we might disciple and equip people in such a way that they're so passionate and infectious about sharing Jesus Christ that it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies and multiplies till Scotland is saturated with the gospel. And that light for him shines in all its power and clarity. Well, I'm going to close with a quote from Messy Church, who do a great work. It says, "If the church is not missionary, then it has denied itself and its calling, for it has departed from the very nature of God." Let's get on board with mission, because our God is a missionary God. And let's get in tune with what he's doing in the world and in Bankery. Right, we're going to skip a hymn, looking at the time, sorry. And we're going to go to communion. I'm going to pray and read a scripture and prepare our hearts. Father God, we come to you this evening. We thank you that you are the God that has reached Bankery and this church has been established by your power and for your glory. And we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you that he is such a wonderful and living and powerful Savior. And so we come to remember him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Father, we pray this evening that as we take these emblems, the bread and the cup, that we might be reminded of your love and grace in our own lives, and all that you've done for us in Christ. We praise you and we worship you this evening. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And so we would like to welcome all who love and trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So if you are a Christian this evening and you've committed your life to him, then we would welcome you to take the emblems. The Lord Jesus, it said of the Lord Jesus, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this. This is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." Let's pray for the bread and give thanks. Father, thank you for this bread. Thank you that it speaks to us of the precious life of our Lord Jesus Christ and his body given for us on that cross. We thank you for your amazing grace and for your matchless love. And we praise you. We praise you, Father, that Christ paid for our sins on the cross and gave himself for us. And we praise you in his worthy name. Amen.